Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Kaliyuga Pavan Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Shri Radha Vrindavana Chandra Ki Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रीनिवास वेंकटेश्वर बालाजी की समावेत भक्त वृंद की कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्पुषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः So we are reading from 431.3, first number, correct? तानिर्जित प्राणमनोवचो दृशो जितासनान् शांत समान विग्रहान् परे मले ब्रह्मणि योजितात्मनः सुरासुरेड्यो ददृशे स्म नारदः तानिर्जितप्राणमनोवचो दृशो जितासनान् शान्तसमानविग्रहान् परेमले ब्रह्मणि योजितात्मनः सुरासुरेड्यो ददृशे स्म नारदः तानिर्जितप्राणमनोवचो दृशो जितासनान् शान्तसमानविग्रहान् परेमले ब्रह्मणि योजितात्मनः सुरासुरेड्यो ददृशे स्म नारदः तान्निर्जितप्राणमनोवचो दृशो जितासनान् शान्तसमानविग्रहान् परेमले ब्रह्मणि योजितात्मनः सुरासुरेड्यो ददृशे स्म नारदः तान् ऑल ऑफ देम निर्जित कंप्लीटली कंट्रोल्ड प्राण द लाइफ एयर बाय द प्राणायाम प्रोसेस मनः माइंड वाचः वर्ड्स दृशः एंड विजन जिद आसनान who conquered the yogic asana or sitting posture, shanta, pacified, samana, straight, vigrahan, whose bodies, pare, transcendental, amale, free from all material contamination, brahmani, in the supreme, yojita, engaged, atmanaha, whose minds, sura asura idyaha, worshipped by the demons and by the demigods, dadrishe saw, sma, in the past, naradaha, great sage Narada, translated purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, ki, after practicing the yoga asana for mystic yoga, the prachetas managed to control their life air, mind, words and external vision. Thus, by the pranayama process, they were completely relieved of material attachment. By remaining perpendicular, they could concentrate their minds on the uppermost Brahman. While they were practicing this pranayama, the great sage Narada, who is worshipped by both by demons and by demigods, came to see him. Purport. In this verse, the words pare amale are significant. The realization of Brahman is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is realized in three phases: impersonal effulgent Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. In his prayers, Lord Shiva concentrated upon the personal features of the Parabrahman, described in personal terms as Snigdha Pravrit Ghanashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas also concentrated their minds on the Shyam Sundara form of the Supreme Brahman. Although impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, Brahman and Brahman as the Supreme Person are all on the same transcendental platform, the personal future of the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate goal and last word in transcendence. The great sage Narada travels everywhere. He goes to the demons and the demigods and is equally respected. He is consequently described herein as Surasuredhya, worshipped both by demons and by demigods. For Narada Muni, the door of every house is open. Although there is perpetual animosity between the demons and demigods, Narada Muni is welcomed everywhere. Narada is considered one of the demigods, of course. And the word Devarishi means the saintly person among the demigods. But not even the demons envy Narada Muni. Therefore, he is equally worshipped both by demons and by demigods. A perfect Vaishnava's position should be just like Narada Muni's, completely independent and unbiased. So they told me to take up one more verse. Tamagatam ta uthaya pranipatyabhinandya cha pujayitva yatha desham sukhasina matha bruvan. As soon as the Prachita saw that the great sage Narada had appeared, they immediately got up, even from their asanas. As required, they immediately offered obeisances and worshipped him. And when they saw that Narada Muni was properly seated, they began to ask him questions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is significant that all the Prachetas were engaged in practicing yoga to concentrate their minds on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oftentimes, when people hear of the Rudra Sampradaya, people tend to think that maybe in Rudra Sampradaya people worship Shiva instead of worshipping Krishna. Like that people think wrongly. Because many people don't know Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Vishnu or Krishna or Lord Rama. They are unaware of that. Also, oftentimes the external appearance of a person's spiritual practices makes us think maybe he is an impersonalist. Maybe he is just a yogi. But when you go a little close, you will see even the people who are performing sometimes severe austerities or sometimes practices like pranayama and all that, or studying vast literatures, they also have a devotional side and a very strong inclination for worshipping the personality of Godhead. Many years ago, we had gone for one Vrindavan Yatra. So in our tour, we went to one particular place where we were taken, led into a gufa. It was deep inside, a cave, almost 15-20 feet inside, dark, very dark cave. So there they said a very great Ashtanga yogi lived in that place performing severe penance, and he was very, very famous, very popular. He had thousands and lakhs of following. But they said he was a very staunch devotee of Krishna. Although he was Ashtanga yogi, he controlled his life air, pranayama, by meditation and the Ashtanga yoga process. But he also was a very great devotee of Krishna, and he is known in Vrindavan as a devotee, more as a devotee than as Ashtanga yogi. The other day I was telling you about Shabari also. Shabari actually had learnt Ashtanga yoga from Matanga Rishi, and she was performing Ashtanga yoga to learn to control her asana, sitting in a Sukhasana or a Padmasana, keeping the spinal cord straight to avoid all material disturbances and to control the senses by asanas, control the mind by pranayama, and by the inhale and exhale of the air, and calming the mind to attain the stage called samahitaha, we call it. Samahitaha is one point in the vyavasayatmaka buddhi. One attains in focusing on one thing. But then you find when Lord Ram comes, she is engaged in serving Ram, in giving him fruits and offering fruits with great devotion and love. At the same time, we heard how when she was 90 plus years, at that time Lord Ram arrived there in Nasik. Lord Ram also accepted her devotion, and subsequently she took permission from Ram to return back to Godhead and created a mystic fire in her belly. She went back to Godhead. So when you see such people externally, we may, due to our superficial observation, we may conclude that they are, you know, hey, he is not a bhakta, he is just a yogi. We may tend to think like that. So there are examples from Bhagavatam, I will show you. Repeat this verse. Titikshur yata vagdanta urdvareta jita nilaha ariradayishu krishnam acharattapavuttamam 4.23.7. See here, see the translation of this. Please read it, somebody. You have the mic with you.
Maharaj Prithu underwent all the severe austerities.
What severe austerities he underwent? We will read that also. Grishme panchatapa viro Varsha swasa rashan munihi Akantamagna shishire Udake standileshayah.
Following the principles of forest living and the footsteps of the great sages and munis, Prithu Maharaj accepted five kinds of heating processes.
Five kinds of heating processes means four sides heat, fire, and the top sun, hot sun. Yeah. Five. Panchagni.
During the summer season, exposed himself to torrents of rain in the rainy season, and in the winter stood in water.
In summer, do you like hot fire around you? But you put hot fire. Because generally we like comfort, correct? No? So in summer, we would like to be surrounded by ice or an AC room. But he put panchagni. And in winter?
Stood in water up to his neck. He also used to simply lie down on the floor to sleep.
Prabhupada says here, yeah, read it.
These are some of the austerities executed by the jnanis and yogis who cannot accept the process of bhakti yoga. They must undergo such severe types of austerities in order to become purified from material contamination. Pancha tapa refers to five kinds of heating processes. One is enjoined to sit within a circle of fire with flames blazing from four sides and the sun blazing directly overhead. This is one of the kind of pancha tapa recommended for austerity. Similarly, in the rainy season, one is enjoined to expose himself to torrents of rain and in winter to sit in the cold water up to the neck. As far as bedding is concerned, the ascetic should be content with simply lying on the floor. The purpose for undergoing such severe austerities is to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God at Krishna, as explained in the next verse.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the Tapovana, Maharaj Prithu sometimes ate the trunks and roots of the trees. And sometimes he ate fruit and dried leaves, and for some weeks he drank only water. Finally, he lived simply by breathing air.
This reminds you of somebody? See, when Prithu Maharaj went to the forest, he did not eat any cooked food sent from the city by some devotees or disciples, Prabhupada writes. See here, you read this one. Huh?
By Prithu Maharaj's behavior, we can understand that when he went to the forest, he did not eat any cooked food sent from the city by some devotees or disciples.
He ate some roots and tree trunks, fruits, dried leaves and all that. He says. Sometimes he ate nothing, but okay, like that he says it was. And then he goes on to say, he underwent severe austerity, especially in regards to eating. In other words, overeating is not all recommended, he says. Okay. So he wanted to live in the mode of complete goodness, he says. Whereas to live in the city is in mode of passion. All that he says. Okay. And then he is quoting about Rupa Goswami living under a tree, like Maharaj Prabhu. Nobody can imitate such great souls, he is saying. Okay. So three, four verses are there like this. See here, after retiring from family life, Maharaj Prithu strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. He engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone. See, one amazing thing, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, in Brahmacharya Ashrama and Grihastha Ashrama and Vanaprastha and Sannyas, there are contradictory instructions, he says, with a common goal. He says, what are those contradictory instructions? Like in Brahmacharya Ashrama, one should never look at a woman or go near a woman. Keep away from a woman. Whereas in Grihastha Ashram, one is supposed to marry a woman. Accept Pani Grahanam. Correct, na? In Brahmacharya Ashrama, one is not supposed to eat very nice foods. One is supposed to keep eating program very simple. In Grihastha Ashrama, one is allowed to, wife is allowed to cook very nice foods and give to husband. And they can offer to Krishna and eat and lead a healthy life. Now, in Brahmacharya Ashrama, one should not take any responsibility for, you know, family or relatives or friends in Brahmacharya Ashrama. Or especially for a woman, one should not take responsibility. Whereas in Grihastha Ashrama, it is said, one has to accept a woman and beget children and take responsibility for family and business and profession and everything. It's just the opposite. You will see that. In Brahmacharya Ashrama, one has to refrain from sex life. In Grihastha Ashrama, it is said, putra heenam, griham shunyam. One has to beget a child and raise the child in Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, if you make a comparison, the instructions appear to be contradictory. But they both have the common goal because ashram, in shelter of guru. So, it's the same type of goal. They both want to go back to Krishna, and according to their psychophysical nature, different rules are prescribed like that. Similarly, the Vanaprastha Ashram is the ashram of austerity. It's sometimes even more austere than Brahmacharya Ashram also. Vanaprastha Ashram. The reason is, a person has crossed 50 years. Therefore, he is supposed to eat simple. If possible, one should eat even uncooked foods, as you see here. Because cooked foods are tasty. One is supposed to eat, you know, carrots and roots and, you know, herbs and that kind of thing. Therefore, in one of the verses, Lord Chaitanya also tells, Mula, Shaka, Kanda, Mula, Shaka, Adi, like that, he says something. He says that eating all these vegetables and leaves and roots and bulbs, bulb means not this bulb, that is also one type of, So he says that those kind of things one should eat very simple, and then the mind and senses will be very calm, he says. So now, here, Sri Prabhupada says here in this place, as it is necessary for one to become very active in family life, similarly after retirement from family life, it is necessary to control the mind and senses. This is possible when one engages himself fully in devotional service of the Lord. So one point I noted here, he says, Prithu Maharaj was very enthusiastic in expanding his kingdom and ruling over the people and taking up the administrative activities. And he showed the same enthusiasm in the retired life. He did not leave those things reluctantly. Some people may leave them reluctantly. So when they are here also, their mind may be absorbed here. He was not doing like that. As much he was enthusiastic for engaging and expanding the kingdom, now he was equally enthusiastic for engaging in devotional activities wholeheartedly. Prabhupada saying, the Grihastha Ashrama is a sort of concession, combining sense gratification with regulative life. It is enabled, and like that he says, okay, and then he goes on. Yeah. Now we come back to that verse which I read out for you. All the severe austerities he is doing. See the word what is used here. Here what he says, here. So what he says? Ariradayishu Krishnam. The word Krishna is mentioned. Acharat tapa uttama. So that's what Prabhupada will say in the end of this purport if you read. He will say here. It is not okay. You can read this one. There are many fools.
There are many fools who claim that worship of Krishna began only about 5000 years ago, after the appearance of Lord Krishna in India. But this is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj happened to be a descendant of the family
Prithu
of...
Maharaj worshipped.
Prithu Maharaj worshipped Krishna millions of years ago, for Prithu Maharaj happened to be a descendant of the family of Maharaj Dhruva, who reigned for 36,000 years during the Satyayuga age. Unless his total lifespan was 100,000 years, how could Dhruva Maharaj reign over the world for 36,000 years?
Like that he says, and then he says, Krishna worship began in Satya, Treta, Dwapara and everything. But here, this is the most important thing he says here, see. Ari Radheshu Krishnam Acharata Pavutamam. Maharaj Prithu underwent severe type of austerity for the express purpose of worshipping Krishna. Krishna is so kind in this age that he appears as a holy name and all that he says. So, how many of you felt that when you heard about Prithu Maharaja's tapasya, he appeared like a jnani for you? Any of you felt that? Jnani or a yogi? Correct, na? So, you can see many sections. You can see, for example, Rishabhadev. You know, there is Avadhut Vesh of Rishabhadev. You will see. Guy is passing through the streets. Children are throwing stones. Some shopkeepers are throwing stones at him. Ladies are laughing, ridiculing him. But because he is nude, although he was very, very handsome face, with long flowing hair, his eyes were beautiful like lotus petals, because he is Lord Krishna himself, coming as Rishabhadev. So, in one place it is mentioned that he lied down like a cow, cow or an ass lying down on the road. He passes stool and urine in one place and he just, you know, rolled over it. Although his stool was fragrant, and for long distance the fragrance went. So, because he was an incarnation, naturally the stool was also very fragrant, it is mentioned. So now this is called Avadhut Vesh. Why a person should do like that? Because a person is so detached from material world, he loses the external bodily consciousness altogether. He doesn't connect with the material world. He is completely absorbed in the Supreme. Absorption in Supreme. Just like Shukadeva Goswami was also like that. So now when you see Shukadeva Goswami or Rishabhadev or Avadhut Brahman in the 7th canto, Shukadeva Goswami, needless to say, he spoke the whole Bhagavatam only. Now, Rishabhadev, somebody may think, is he a jnani? Is he impersonalist? Is he a yogi? But he says, Preetirna yavat mayivasudeve, he says. He says that, very important verse it is. Evam manakarma vasham prayunkte avidyayatmanyupadhiyamane preetirna yavan mai vasudeve namuchyate deha yogena tavat. He is telling here, when the living entity is covered by mode of ignorance, it does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjected to fruity activities. But until one has love for Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept material body again and again. So, this is 5.5.6. So, which means, although he looks like a, you know, vairagi, impersonalist, he actually talks about devotional service. Even in the Rishabhadev's teachings also, he teaches about how Vaishnavas are the topmost living beings. So, he gives a gradation of living beings. And then he says, above all of them, I am there, he says. And above me are the Vaishnavas, he says. They are even better than me. Because I worship them, like that he says. So, glorifying Vaishnavas as better than himself And glorifying devotion service as the ultimate goal of life very clearly proves that Rishabhadev is actually ultimately taking a role of a devotee. Same with Prithu Maharaj, Ari Radha Ishu Krishnam Acharatta Potam. We may think that, you know, devotees will never put five fires around themselves. Nor are we expected to perform such severe austerities in this age. But even though he is doing that, his goal was to please Krishna. And if you read Prithu Maharaj's other purports, I found out in one place, Prabhupada says that because Prithu Maharaj was ruling as a king, he had to subdue the thieves and rogues, and he had to subdue the atheists, and he had to establish Varnashrama Dharma in his country. So a king many times has to indulge in violence. And so when a king takes to the Vanaprastha order, he will perform severe austerities and penances in order to subdue his mind and senses, which could be contaminated because of his dominating nature or controlling nature or protecting nature. So these are all to be nullified. For example, the bossing mentality or dominating nature has to become a serving mentality, isn't it? So instead of controlling the living entities, now he has to leave the control to the Lord. Oh Lord, I am in your control, isn't it? And earlier he was protecting Kshatriya, means protect all the praja. Now he should leave the protection to the Supreme Lord. He should live in the forest and allow Lord to protect him, and he should not take in charge or responsibility for anybody. He is supposed to give up all the attachments. So in order to do this, the kings would perform pranayama, asanas and concentration, meditation and all those steps, because the first four steps of Ashtanga Yoga are called Hatha Yoga. Yama, Niyama, Pranayama and Asana. So that is especially a material technique for controlling the body and mind. It's a material technique. If somebody feels my body is like an animal body, then one has to really subdue the body with such kind of Hatha Yoga process. Like in Vrindavan, you will find some people do this Dandavat Parikrama, you know that? And some of them not only do Dandavat Parikrama, they have almost 50-60 stones with them. So they, 108 also, yeah. So they lie down in one place and then put, correct, no? All of it one by one, and then they go to the next one. Correct, no? That is even more painful, isn't it? How much your spine will pain, your knee will pain. Even to think about it is painful. Correct, no? Isn't it? Sometimes we go for one day, go over the Parikrama, and everybody is saying, my back is paining, you know, shoulder is paining, leg is paining. Correct, no? Some devotees say, Prabhuji, yesterday we went to Parikrama, so today we took rest. Next day, isn't it? Think about Dandavat Parikrama, no? So why they do that? Because if the body is extremely lusty, extremely greedy, extremely angry, one is unable to subdue the lower nature. By subduing the body with such processes like Hatha Yoga and this kind of processes, gradually one is forced to become humble by a material means. So therefore you will find the kings would do that. Prabhupada mentions in one place, he mentions that. And then when the mind is more purified, more humble, then one can do the further process, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi on Lord Vishnu, on Lord Krishna, one can do that. Now the same you can take from the Avadhut Brahman of the 11th canto. If you see the Avadhut Brahman, you know, he was cheerful, he was carefree, he was like a child, innocent looking, and he had no bondage to the world. He was independent. So when Raja Yadu saw him, so Raja Yadu told, you don't seem to be holding any job, but you seem to be so happy. You don't seem to have a house. You are aniket. You have no house. You have no wife, no children, no profession, no earning. But how is it that you are so cheerful? So he said, I learned from 24 gurus. And I will tell you about each of those gurus. So if you see, he is also a devotee of the Lord. Many of the gurus, when he is speaking, he will talk about Lord Hari. Like Pingala. Ashahi paramo dukkam. So when she is talking about that, she says about Lord Hari. Surrender to Lord Hari.
So each from each guru he enhances devotional service. Now this may appear like some speculation. How is it that you can look here, you can look there, and you know you can come up with your own lessons? Is he like a jnani type fellow? He's just picking up any lesson? No, because his conclusions are in line with Shastra. Ultimately, it's bringing him to Lord Vasudeva, to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. It is not speculation. Therefore, any philosophical speculation that brings you to the lotus feet of Krishna is welcomeable. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion. So, in case somebody has a tendency to be a thinker, to be creative, to be innovative, to come up with ideas, but ultimately it should be for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, and it is in line with Shastra, then it is not a problem. Similarly, you will see our Avanti Brahman. You know, people actually was very rich at one time, and then suddenly he was thrown out of the family, and people chastised him, yelled at him, spat on him. Yeah, and people passed a foul air on his face. Some people even urinated on him. Can you imagine? Such mistreatment. When you read that section, you know, your hair will stand on end out of fear. None of us would want such a thing to happen to us. But he didn't protest at all. Actually, people protest for small things. You know, if somebody even looked at you with an angry glance or something, or somebody did some small thing to you, people make a big issue out of it. But Avanti Brahman, people passed stool on his head, and I mean urine on his head, and passed foul air on his face. And then, so that section appears, he is like a vairagi, he is like a detached person, one who is a tyagi. It looks like that. But then when Avanti Brahman speaks about the mind, subsequently he comes to say, etam sa astaya paratmanishtham adhyasitam purvatamair maharshibhi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nishevayaiva. I will take shelter of Lord Mukunda and cross over this very difficult samsara. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this past time, he was delighted in it, and then he repeatedly quoted this shloka. And this shloka is given to all the sannyasis at the time of taking sannyas, because he was a great renunciate. So he became a sannyasi. At the same time, he was deeply sheltered in Krishna's lotus feet. You find that. Similarly, you see the Avadhut Brahmana in the 7th canto. This fellow, he is a fat fellow lying in the forest. And he also had no work to do, no family, nothing. So when Prahlad Maharaj was passing in his chariot near the area of Rishabh Hills, somewhere close to Melukottai. From Melukottai, you can go to that place. Probably it's only a few kilometers from there. That is the place where this Avadhut Brahman was lying under a tree in the forest. Nobody, you know, may probably pay heed to him. He had no following, he had no relatives to care for, nobody to give him food, no house to stay, living in the jungle. Maybe there may be snakes and jackals and, you know, lions and tigers and elephants. He was fearless, lying in the forest. So when Prahlad went in his chariot, he passed through the forest and he saw him lying. So Prahlad got down from his chariot along with his ministers. He went and offered him obeisances. And see, here comes the very important point here, you know, like a saragrahi, we say, the essence collector. The essence collectors don't go by the superficial observation. They go by the essence, like a honeybee. Sees that sunflower is very big, but a honeybee will never go there. But another flower is a white flower, only this much size, very small. But honeybee will go and sit there. Why? Because in the small flower there is honey. But the big sunflower is only show bottle. There is no honey there. Although it looks smiling very beautifully. So essence collector, honeybee, knows where to sit and get the honey. Similarly, the Avadhut Brahman appeared like a poor man, appeared like a beggar, penniless person that was lying in the forest. People generally like to connect with the important people in society. Who is who? You have heard that, no? Who is who? Big people. What positions they hold. By connecting with them, people want to derive some benefits by that connection. But here you see, although Prahlad was king of the world, he is going to meet him. And then Prahlad tells, sir, you are lying in the forest in a lonely place, and you are so fat, you have such a fat body, surely you are maintained by Lord Narayana. He says that, and then he says that, I want to make some spiritual inquiry from you. So this gentleman, this Avadhut Brahman says, generally I don't talk to anybody. I avoid people. I have left the society because I have understood that, you know, the money and sense gratification never bring happiness. So I have left all of that and I have adopted Maunavratam. But seeing a devotee of Narayana like you, Prahlad, even I am inspired to speak and I am inspired to associate with you and hear from you for my own purification, like that he says. So then when he opens his mouth, then Prahlad understands he is actually a devotee. That Avadhut Brahmana is also a devotee of Lord Krishna. You will see that. So we should not go by the externals. By seeing a person, that is one thing we understand. Similarly, here also in the Pracheta section, we read that Prachetas, you know, it is mentioned here. See, ta nirjita prana mano vacho drisho jitasanan shanta samana vigrahan pare amale brahmani yojitatmanah sura asureddyo dadrishe smanaradah. See, it says here, after practicing the yogas and for mystic yoga, Prachetas manage to control their air, mind, words and external vision. Thus, by the pranayama process, they were completely relieved of material attachment. Because the pranayama controls the mind, it purifies the mind. At the same time, we should know the pranayama, although it is mentioned here, they were completely relieved. Bhagavatam itself says in another places, akshina vasanam rajan drishyate punaruttitam. We will recite that shloka also. Yama divir yoga pathair. Okay, I'll just say yunjananam abhaktanam pranayamadibir manah akshinavasanam rajan drishyate punaruttitam. See, yunjananam abhaktanam, those who are abhaktas but who are engaged in yama adibir means yama, niyama, pranayama, asana, pratyahara and all that. They are abhaktanam. For the abhaktas it is said, akshina vasanam rajan. Kshin means destroyed. Akshina means undestroyed vasanas. Drishyate dekha jata hai, we see it. Punaruttitam means again they come back. If you are abhaktas. Were Prachetas abhaktas? No, they were bhaktas. Therefore this pranayama and asanas, everything combined with bhakti yoga help them to completely get relieved of material attachment. So, yeah, yogi, jnani, karmi, everybody has to take shelter of the Supreme Lord in Bhakti Yoga if they want to completely get relieved of the mental attachment. And therefore, Prabhupada says their guru was Shiva, and Shiva taught them this verse, Snigdha Pravrit Ghanashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham Charu Ayata Chatur Bhagam Sujata. Sujata means like a lotus face. Ruchirananam, beautiful face of Lord Vasudeva. Padma Patra Palashaksham means his eyes are like lotus petals. Sundara Bru Sunasikam, raised nose, beautiful nose. Sudvijam, rows of teeth like kundu flowers or like the jasmine buds. Sudvijam Sukapolasyam, like a crescent moon, his forehead. Samakarna Vibhushanam, is a Makara Kundal he wears. Very beautiful earrings, which are shining on his cheeks. So this beautiful form of Lord Vasudeva, was charming form, was explained by Shiva. Snigdha Pravrit Ghanashyama means Lord's body is like bluish black, glistening like a glistening cloud, like that he says. So therefore, Prachetas had taken shelter of that particular form, and they saw that form with eight-handed form. Lord came and gave darshan. So, without seeing that beauty, one can never give up the loyal taste. Therefore, he says they completely got relieved of material attachments. And then, so in this way, now Narada Muni comes, when they are practicing this pranayama, Narada came, and he was, another point mentioned here is Narada was worshipped by Dhira Dhira Janapriyav Priyakarav. Narada is worshipped by both. Because sometimes the demigods also have material desires. So the demons become demigods' competitors. Whereas pure devotees like Narada, they have no desire. They are akama. Krishna bhakta, nishkama. Atayev. So because a devotee has no competition, therefore nobody can envy a devotee or compete with the devotee. Now when you start an organization like ISKCON, now the organization can have competition sometimes. For example, you put a book table, you want to promote the books, another bookseller of cinema books, cinema magazines, he thinks you are a competitor with him, isn't it? You take a big bus into some village where there are mostly people, say other religious people, converted people are there, and when you go, they immediately stop the bus, they take a U-turn and go. So they think we are their competitors, correct, no? So in this way, sometimes when we make organization involves money, organization involves success, failure, the organization involves expansion program. So therefore, people can envy people connected to organization. Therefore, we have to be within the organization, but we should somehow or other learn the art of being friendly with all living entities. He says three qualities of a devotee. That mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyava suhrida sadavoye. Vimanyavaha means we should never become angry with unknown people. Vimanyavaha, suhrida, we should be well-wisher of all living entity. Sadavoye, we should strictly adhere to the spiritual principles and not set a bad example. And samachitta means we should be equipoised with all people. Don't do Vedabhav, rich people, poor people, educated, uneducated. Be kind to all. Prashanta means always be peaceful. Don't have hankering due to lust, anger and greed. So these five qualities are mentioned in the verse. The verse where he talks about the Mahatmas. Correct, no? So therefore, Mahatsevam Dwaramahur Vimukte. In that verse it is said. So, By adopting the disposition which I told you just now, even inimical people may gradually turn to be friends. Like Gaurangapu was once sharing personally, he said devotees had put a book table and one shop person was very angry that they put the table just outside. So he came to quarrel, and the shopkeeper was angry with the police that the police is not taking any action. Then the devotees promised the police they will move it. But 2-3 days they were putting the table again. So the shopkeeper really got wild. Then of course they moved the table. And the police wanted to take some action. So the devotees gave him a cup of sweet rice. And then the police ate the sweet rice and said. Then he said, see, aage jaakar dhimata aana, theek hai, kahin aao laga dijiye. And police went away. And after going again he came back and said, one more cup of sweet rice. Yeah. So, I was telling that devotees have to deal with sometimes difficult elements while trying to propagate the mission. And we should unnecessarily not be enthusiastic for picking quarrel. See, recently I saw one letter, Prabhupada's quote. Prabhupada, now recently they got one video clip of showing how they are doing large scale ghastly killing of cows, pigs, you know, and goats, calves and all those creatures, and how that is bringing about suffering for the people and various forms of diseases and all that. So one Prabhupada disciple has sent a letter giving a Prabhupada's quote, saying that I request all ISKCON devotees not to spread this type of video showing the ghastly killing of cows and other animals, and because Prabhupada says in that quote that 99% of the world population are meat eaters, more than 90%, 90-95%. And Prabhupada says, we don't want to wage a war against the meat eaters or those kinds of people. Prabhupada says that actually we want to make sure that we give them Krishna consciousness. Because if you give them Krishna consciousness, they'll give up meat eating. Just like what Narada did with Mrigari. Narada told Mrigari, don't half kill the animals, what do you do? You fully kill. Then he was very happy to associate with Narada. If Narada told him, don't kill, he would have driven away. And then Narada spoke to him in a very saintly way. Recently we preach, although we may say that we should try to give up meat eating, especially for the boys who are increasing rounds. When boys come to Sankalp camp, we tell them, you know, don't eat meat. Otherwise, our goal is not to promote, you know, people avoiding meat, and that is also important, but that is not as important as chanting the holy name. So don't miss the essential goal. Even a meat eater is also allowed to chant. And then when he chants, all the lower taste will go away. So that we should remember. So in this way, Narada was a friend of all. Dheera, dheera janapriyav. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharakshimad Bhagavatam ki. The reason I was telling you about all these different examples from Bhagavatam, within the pages of Bhagavatam itself, you have the kind of three avadhut Brahmins are there in Bhagavatam only. Bhagavatam is actually for the Paramahamsas and pure devotees. So it teaches us to be more alert and attentive. Sometimes we take the external look of a person. If he has long beard and long hair, we think he must be Mayavadi. Correct? Immediately. And there are some certain groups of Vaishnavas also who have long beard and long hair also. Not in our ISKCON. I'm saying outside. Other sampradayas, there are also people. So one of the things I know who is a Vaishnava is with the either a three tilak or this tilak. That is one way we can know. But even otherwise, one should try to know the essentially who is who. Even Sanatana Goswami was like a Dharavesh when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi. Chandrasekhar Vaidya could not ascertain it. But Mahaprabhu knew he is Vaishnava. How do you know a Vaishnava? By his faiths that he has and the process that he follows. Correct, no? And his devotion to Krishna. So from this we can become God-minded to understand that these procedures are all subordinate procedures. The supreme procedure is to practice chanting of the holy name and devotional process, which can uproot even the ignorance from which, you know, the kutam, bijam, phalon mukam, everything else comes from that. So therefore Prabhupada gave us directly the ultimate goal of chanting the holy name. But we, at the same time, one point which I didn't speak today, which you can think about when you go back now, is for us to be friendly with all jivas, we have to give up hatred for the living entities, especially non-devotees. That's called jana aparad. Jana aparad means hating the non-devotee living entities. They go, look at him, he's eating like a pig. You know, he is drinking, he is smoking. You know, see, he is wearing Bermuda. You know, he has no shame. Look at him. You know, simply they are like animals, they are going to hell. So we should not think like that. If we are uncompassionate, then how can we give Krishna to them? If we don't show sympathy for them by giving them a book and being kind to them. If we can be little kind to even such people, they may consider taking to Krishna consciousness seriously. Shri Prabhupada ki, Parvaktavinda ki.